You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer. Welcome back to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Be here every week and tell your friends about us, particularly at this important time, this year of decision for our country. Oh, how I would like today to be talking about something upbeat, bring you some good news. But of course, the country just experienced yet another assassination attempt on President Trump. This latest failed assassination attempt on the former president by a fanatic who hated him was horrifying. But I have to sadly say that I wasn't surprised. In fact, I believe on this very podcast, I predicted after the first assassination attempt, there would be another one. And I'm willing to say right now, sadly, that there will be even another attempt before the election, because there are powerful forces here in the United States and abroad that are threatened by the idea of another Trump presidency. Now, I want to zero in on what's happening in our country during this debate, this political debate that's making these assassination attempts and the possibility of greater political violence more and more likely. Trump is being targeted every day by his political opposition and by big media with hateful rhetoric. People are being told constantly that he will be a dictator. They compare him to Adolf Hitler. This language obviously is going to incite violence. If you are being told that there's somebody in our country that could become president again and he's really Adolf Hitler, well, of course, that's an excuse to do virtually anything to that individual to stop them from becoming president. And sure enough, within hours of the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump, leaders of the Democrat Party and their media allies were employing the same disgusting rhetoric yet again. For years, they've been insisting that Trump is a threat to our democracy. That rhetoric is causing unstable people to try to kill the former president. Look, you've heard the old analogy. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater if there's no fire. You'll cause a panic. People would be injured in the rush to get out of the theater. This is the equivalent, the political equivalent, of yelling fire in a crowded theater when there's no fire, except this is even worse. This is putting our country in jeopardy, let alone putting President Trump in jeopardy. It's this constant lying about Donald Trump, in my view, that is the real threat to our constitutional republic and to our freedom. After the first attempt to assassinate him in Pennsylvania, there were multiple pleas to lower the rhetoric. But sure enough, the lies and smears aimed at the former president resumed in short order. Recently, Vice President Harris, the Democrat nominee for president, referring to the riot in Washington, D.C. that took place on January 6, said that Trump was responsible for, quote, the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. What? I mean, first of all, Trump was not responsible for the riot on January 6. As we have said endlessly, and you can check it out anywhere you want to, he specifically told the people gathered in Washington to march peacefully and patriotically, and 99.9% of them did so. There were radicals who chose to riot, and they caused the problems on Capitol Hill. But this riot was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. This was worse than Pearl Harbor, the beginning of World War II, a war that ended up killing tens of millions of people around the world. The riot on January 6th that Vice President Harris is saying that Donald Trump caused, that was worse than the events of 9/11 when radical Islamists flew commercial aircraft into the Twin Towers in New York City and then crashed a hijacked plane into the Pentagon of the United States. That two-hour riot, three-hour riot was worse than that day. 3,000 Americans died that day. We ended up being in two wars in Afghanistan and Iraq because of what happened that day. And we have a woman who wants to be the next president of the United States trying to convince us that people pushing and shoving and breaking some windows on Capitol Hill, which we abhor here at JDFI, that shouldn't have happened. But nonetheless, that was worse than Pearl Harbor or 9/11. Look, I want to make this point really clear. JDFI abhors violence. That's one of the reasons that Dr. Dobson and myself and our whole team regularly speaks out against the growing crime in the United States. There's violence taking place on every city street in America. We have a migrant crime wave taking place. And the statistics are out there to prove it. Police all over America are saying they've never seen anything like this because of our open border. JDFI has spoken against that. We have spoken for secure borders. We believe Americans should be able to walk the streets of their cities, no matter what their race or ethnic background is, and be able to do it safely and in peace. We abhor violence. We believe America should be slow to go to war. In the last 20 years, we've been in war every time we turn around, except in the first Donald Trump presidency when he got us out of wars. But we believe at JDFI, we should only go to war, which is ultimate violence, if the national security of the United States is at stake. We do not want America to be the policeman of the world. Violence? I don't know if Vice President Harris is really the right person to be talking about violence. I mean, she is all in on abortion on demand all 9 months of the pregnancy. At JDFI, we believe that an abortion, the murder of an innocent unborn child in any month of the pregnancy, is about the most grotesque violence you can think of. Sharp instruments or saline solutions or powerful chemicals are put into the womb in order to destroy an innocent life. And Vice President Harris calls it reproductive health care. No, it is violence. And it happens over a million times a year. Her running mate, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, called Trump a fascist. You know, that's like a Nazi. And then said he was a threat to democracy and someone who will put people's lives in danger. There we go again with that talk about putting people's lives in danger from the ticket that is totally committed to continuing to destroy a million unborn children every year. Now, all of this is going on, all of this lying about the former president, all of this over-the-top rhetoric, two assassination attempts now, one in Pennsylvania, one in Florida at the golf course when Donald Trump was trying to play a round of golf. All this is happening at the same time that U.S. intelligence agencies have confirmed that the Islamic Republic of Iran is trying to assassinate Donald Trump. Did you know that? I mean, can you think of a bigger interference in American elections than a hostile foreign power trying to assassinate one of the presidential nominees, one of the two people that will be the next president? This is not something I'm just conjuring up. Even the Biden administration's own national security apparatus has said publicly they have clear evidence that the Islamic Republic of Iran is trying to kill Donald Trump. You know what other evidence we have? The government of Iran has said so publicly. Oh, well, maybe you'll think, well, this is just, you know, this is just a bluster, this kind of stuff they say. No, we have confirmed that an assassination squad, maybe more than one, has crossed into the United States across our open southern border looking to kill Donald Trump and, if they can, to murder former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. You know, wouldn't you think all of that would cause political leaders to be a little careful about what they're saying about a former president of the United States? Did you know that the second assassin that is in jail right now, he was arraigned the day after the event. He was laughing in the courtroom. Thought it was really, really funny. You may not know this because the press once again sort of downplayed it. This individual wrote a book. And in the book, he expresses the hope, wait for it, that Iran assassinates Donald Trump. That seems like a fruitful area for further investigation. Did this second assassin have any interaction with Iran? Could this be part of their effort to kill President Trump? It certainly raises some serious, serious questions. Well, I know some folks, and I'll say that even some people that I've gone to church with who say, well, Gary, no, this rhetoric, this is terrible. They shouldn't be saying things like that. But, you know, Trump invites this because he did this or he did that or people just don't like him. That's the only reason this rhetoric is being thrown around. No, I'm pretty sure that that's not correct. You see, this rhetoric being thrown at Trump, that rhetoric is being used against a whole lot of other people, including normal patriotic Americans and Christians, and it's happening all the time. I'll get back to this in a second. Right now, let's take a few seconds and let's see what Hillary Clinton has to say about all this. Hillary Clinton, the Democratic presidential nominee that Donald Trump defeated, surprisingly defeated, when he first ran for president. Less than 48 hours after the assassination, Hillary Clinton went on a liberal talk show hosted by Rachel Maddow, and she talked a little bit about Donald Trump.
Americans need to understand that they have to take Trump both seriously and literally. He has said what he wants to do. He and his allies with Project 2025, his desire to be a dictator, at least on day one, all of that is in the public record. And I believe that more Americans have to be, you know, willing to endure what frankly is discomforting and to some extent kind of painful. To take him at his word and to be outraged by what he represents.
That's Hillary Clinton saying that we should take Donald Trump at his word when he says he's going to be a dictator on day one. Now, this is a perfect example of what's going on, my friends. I happen to be watching the interview of Donald Trump by Sean Hannity on Fox News. And the left was already saying, oh, he's going to be a dictator. He's going to be a dictator. And Sean Hannity looked at President Trump, former President Trump, and said, Mr. President, a lot of these people are saying that you're going to be a dictator if you get elected again. Are you going to be a dictator if you get elected again? And Donald Trump says, oh yeah, Sean, I'm going to be a dictator on day one. He was being sarcastic. If you were watching, do you think a dictator would announce ahead of time he's going to be a dictator? Of course not. This is ridiculous. But he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a dictator, at least on day one. No, I'm not going to be a dictator. But what I am going to do is issue some executive orders. One of the first ones will be to secure our southern border. This is what every president does. In fact, Joe Biden issued more executive orders his first week in office than any president in modern American history. Issuing an executive order is not being a dictator unless you go too far, and then the Supreme Court will strike down your executive order. So again, they took something that was ironic and joking, and they are using it over and over and over again to deceive the American public. Let's listen to another brief clip.
We can't go back and give this very dangerous man another chance to do harm to our country and the world.
Okay, so now this man is so dangerous. Donald Trump is so dangerous, according to Hillary Clinton. He's not only a danger to Americans, he's a danger to people all over the world. By the way, just an aside here, this idea that he's a danger and a dictator. Have you ever heard of a dictator in the entire world, any time in history, who, when they get into power, the first thing the dictator does and what he devotes his time being a dictator doing is to strengthen religious liberty, particularly for Christians? No, you haven't heard of that, because no dictator does that. Dictators of the right and dictators of the left try to stamp out religious liberty. Donald Trump came into office after beating Hillary Clinton, promising he would expand religious liberty, and he did exactly that during his 4 years by appointing three Supreme Court justices that have given us the most pro-religious liberty Supreme Court in the last 50 years in the United States of America. My friends, they're just plain lying to you. Now, I mentioned a little earlier that this language that's being deployed against Donald Trump isn't just because he's Donald Trump, that they've been deploying that kind of language on Christians and people that love America. If that is who you are, it certainly describes me. I love Jesus and I love America. Well, they're calling us Christian nationalists, and they say, oh, wait for it, we are a threat to democracy. Sound familiar? You know, if you believe in the sanctity of life, and I know you do if you're listening to this podcast, JDFI is committed to the sanctity of life. If you don't want your children indoctrinated with LGBTQ propaganda, you know what they do? They call you a domestic terrorist. If you're pro-life, you're a domestic terrorist. If you try to protect your children, you're a domestic terrorist. You think I'm exaggerating? They have literally set up, a couple of years ago, an 800 number that the FBI ran so that parents that went to school board meetings saying angrily, don't you try to teach my little girl or my little boy this LGBTQ propaganda. And the parents were angry when they said it. Wouldn't you be angry if you found out your 7-year-old was being exposed to this kind of stuff? They said that some of these parents might be domestic terrorists, and they set up a rat line, a line where your neighbor or somebody else could turn you in for further investigation. So no, the rhetoric's not just aimed at Trump. It's aimed at half of the country. Those of us that are pro-life, pro-family, that believe America is a nation built on the idea that liberty came from God, not from government. Well, I want to bring you one of the few voices of sanity in the last couple of days about all of this, and it comes from a really unlikely source, and that's why I want to share it with you. You probably have heard of the Cuomo family. The Cuomo family is one of those Democrat Party powerhouses. One of them tried to get the Democratic presidential nomination a number of years ago. One was the governor of New York. These are pretty traditional liberal Democrats. Another one of the family members is Chris Cuomo. He is a commentator on television, has his own show, does some things online, on social media, etc. These are not Donald Trump fans. Chris Cuomo is not a Donald Trump fan, but he was horrified by a second assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And so this week, Chris Cuomo, after trying to figure out what he should write about all this, decided instead that he would just call Donald Trump directly and express his concern about the former president and give the former president some reassurances. And then Chris Cuomo, and boy, I bet he's catching it now, went on his various platforms and he talked for about 20 minutes what he thinks about all this. I'm just going to play about a minute and a half of what he said specifically about Donald Trump and his family. And what Cuomo asks members of his party, the Democrat Party, to do, in fact, he's asking all of us to do it, is to think about how we would be reacting if there had been two attempts to murder us in a couple of months, what our spouses would be thinking, what our children and grandchildren would be thinking. Would you be out there carrying on your cause if people were trying to kill you? Chris Cuomo here is eloquent, and I want to be clear about this again. His whole statement is 20 minutes long, and in some of that, he is critical of President Trump, but he makes it clear that his differences with President Trump doesn't in any way, shape, or form justify the kind of rhetoric that is being used that is stimulating this violence against the former president. So I want to play this minute and a half powerful statement by Chris Cuomo.
I don't get it. That's why I reached out to Trump. I wanted to just say, listen, I'm really sorry that this is going on and it's being dealt with this way. Not because I'm in favor of his politics or what he says. I criticize him all the time. That's my job. And he deserves it. But he doesn't deserve this. A guy pointing an AK-47 at him while he's playing golf? And we take solace in the fact that the guy didn't get any rounds off. If I had been through what that guy's been through in the last 2 months, you would not know where I am. You would never see me on TV again. No way I would do that. I don't know how he does it. He's got kids, they're adults, but he's got grandkids. He's got a wife. People giving crap to Melania Trump, worrying about whether or not there was a plot around his husband. How could she not? People mock her. And then her husband has a guy pointed with an AK-47. Where are those people apologizing? That's what it's time for. We are playing a dangerous game with ourselves. He is not a desperate in waiting. Okay? I don't buy it. You gotta care when somebody tries to kill somebody. I've told you this before, and I've learned the lesson so many times myself around the world. Either you care when anyone is hurt, well, you'll never really care about anyone being hurt.
Well, I'm not sure I can add anything to that, my friends. That is a liberal Democrat telling his own party to stop it before we all get pushed off a cliff. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris have some major disagreements. They should debate those disagreements. She wants abortion all 9 months. He appointed three Supreme Court justices that took abortion out of the Constitution, where it never was, by the way. He wants smaller government. She wants bigger government. He wants to lower taxes. She wants to raise taxes. He wants to keep us out of wars. She wants us to get deeper into the war between Ukraine and Russia. There's a bunch of differences. They ought to debate them clearly, directly, strongly. But don't go labeling one of the candidates, in this case, the one that's being labeled like this every day. Don't try to make him into a monster. Don't call him a dictator. Don't compare him and his followers to Nazis and Hitlers. Don't smear Christians that are going to vote for him. Don't tell people that if you're pro-life, you're a terrorist. Stop it, or you're going to destroy our country. Thank you for tuning in to this podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Be back with us next week.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.